Society and its values are constantly evolving, but discrimination or prejudice against individuals with disabilities still exist, even in portrayals of people with disabilities in the media. Dr. Catalin Brilla is a university lecturer and filmmaker and has been exploring the stereotyping of persons with disability in the media. And Dr. Brilla joins me now for part two of our series. Hello, Dr. Brilla.
Hello, Simon. Hello. Thank you for inviting me back.
No, it's a pleasure. I mean, last time we looked at why stereotypes exist and how they work in general. Now, today's episode is about stereotypes of disability in the media, in particular, supercrip stereotype. So how do stereotypes work in media then?
Just to briefly explain why media stereotypes are so powerful in shaping people's attitudes towards disabled people. So if people have no first-person experience of disabled people, they usually draw their knowledge to a large degree from different media like books and films, news, social media, magazines, newspapers, and so forth. So the simpler and more consistent stereotypes of other social groups are, the more we can find them across different media and the more universal they become. And we saw this in our last show when I mentioned the two blindness stereotypes of the super creep and the tragic hero being very prevalent in art and literature since the beginnings of human history. So the way disabled people are portrayed in media really informs the way they're perceived and treated in real life. And at the same time, this continuous perception and treatment keeps media stereotypes alive because filmmakers themselves usually hold the same stereotypical biases as their audience. And also, social psychology has shown us that when somebody watches a film or TV show, the brain responses are very similar to their responses to real-life situations or real-life people. So stereotypes, whether we watch a film or whether we see people in real life, behave more or less in the same ways, the same brain mechanisms.
What is the supercrip stereotype then?
So the term supercripple or supercrip is an ironic term used in disability studies to describe the stereotype of a disabled person being almost a superhuman in the way they overcome their disability. And that serves as an inspiration for a public audience in films, for example. So if we look at Channel 4's advert for the 2016 Paralympics in Rio, that's a really good example to analyze the stereotypes. The advert was called We Are the Superhumans, and it shows athletes, musicians, dancers, mothers, children, and even a hobby pilot perform something extraordinary. And then we hear the upbeat music from Sammy Davis Jr.'s song, Yes, I Can. So responses to that ad were very mixed. Some reviewers praised it as a celebration of the extraordinary talents of athletes and everyday disabled people. So they really liked the advert because it doesn't show athletes, but a diversity of disabled people doing something inspirational, increasing inclusivity and awareness of disability in general. And the ads also got good feedback by some of the featured athletes who enjoyed the experience of being involved, which raised its status of being very inclusive.
The advert was actually popular on social media, wasn't it?
Yes, it was very popular on social media, and a lot of people saw it. And even some disability activists I know praised it for raising awareness. But there were also critical voices by reviewers and disability scholars. For instance, they pointed out that instead of giving a feeling of inclusion, this ad actually alienates average disabled people, especially in the UK, where government funding cuts and policies still disadvantage them. Now, what do they mean by that? First of all the average disabled people we see in the ads perform something ordinary, such as shopping, brushing their teeth, and looking after their kids. But because of the slick film aesthetics, the upbeat music, and the intercutting with disabled athletes and artists, these ordinary actions are turned into spectacles. So it becomes an extraordinary showcase to watch and be amazed at. And there's actually a really good quote by Professor Jeffrey Martin from Wayne State University, who writes about sports and disability. He says that excessive praise for engaging in everyday activities is thought to reflect low expectations about what a person with a disability can do. Many individuals view their impairment as part of their identity and not something to overcome. Supercrib-related praise for Paralympians can unrealistically raise expectations for all people with disabilities, including many who cannot do many of the things athletes with disabilities can do.
So basically the perception is that disabled people are inferior.
Yes, that's right. The supercrib stereotype may seem like a positive stereotype, but actually it plays on the low expectations able-bodied people have towards disabled people. And everything they do is seen as something extraordinary or a spectacle. And it also portrays disability as a deficiency to be defeated or remedied, which in disability studies is called the medical model. It also raises the benchmark of how disabled people are evaluated in society to a pretty high level. This stereotype basically says that if you are disabled, you can only be a valid member of society if you are a super crip.
But the Paralympic advert also shows mostly middle-class disabled people, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. And that is very interesting because with stereotypes, we often have to look at what is not just what is shown, but also what is excluded. So in the advert, almost all non-athletes are shown to have a privileged lifestyle, live in stylish homes, go to private hospitals, live in middle-class neighborhoods, and have at least average, if not high-income jobs. This is a much more subtle but still significant part of the supercrib stereotype. So the majority of disabled people who are on benefits or low-income earners may be quite frustrated watching this type of ad, and it would most likely affect their self-esteem and self-perception. So in the last episode, I mentioned the Pygmalion effect, which is exactly what happens here. The low expectations by able-bodied people may lead to an inferiority complex that actually makes disabled people perform much worse in social situations.
So this term supercrip, some people might on the outset think, well, that's a terrible expression. Just explain how that's used in academia.
Yes, so the supercrip term, which stands for super cripple, is actually an ironic term established by disability scholars, and it describes this perception of abled people about disabled people doing something superhuman in order to overcome their disability, and that's then serves as an inspiration for an able-bodied audience. So it's really an ironic term.
So we've discussed in the previous part of the interview about the 2016 Paralympic advert, which it was largely received well, but it did get some criticism, didn't it?
Yes, it got criticism for portraying non-athletes as super cribs doing everyday actions like looking after children or going to school, but in a very spectacleized way, so created a spectacle out of it, and that was what made it problematic.
So are there any examples for the super crip and media portrayals of blindness then?
Oh yes, there are plenty. Maybe the most famous one is Daredevil, about a blind superhero who fights criminals. So we had the film with Ben Affleck, and now we have the Netflix series. There's also the 1970s American TV series Longstreet, about a blind insurance investigator who fights criminals. And then we have the same kind of storyline in Blind Justice, which is another American series from 2005. So in all these films or series, the blindness plays an important narrative role in two opposite ways. In one, it is something to be overcome, especially when engaging in physical fights with the criminals. But paradoxically, in another way, it also shows, the blindness shows to be a result of the superhuman skills, such as highly advanced hearing, highly advanced touch, and almost a sixth sense when it comes to catching the bad guys. So this theme of the super crip catching criminals is quite a popular one, and it is very rare to have a disabled law enforcer not being a super crip. One such rare example is the German TV series called Die Heiland, Wir sind Anwalt, which is about a blind female lawyer. And the big difference here is that the blindness is completely incidental, so it often does not play a major role in how the bad guys are caught, but it's an exception, as I said.
It's almost like the blindness is helping to hone superpowers, and the whole narrative revolves around the blindness then.
Exactly. So blindness is at the center of the narrative, and it's something to be overcome, but at the same time, something that is a cause for these superpowers. And blind people are often represented like that, with having extraordinary sensory powers like smell, touch, and hearing.
What about in documentaries then?
Yes, documentaries often portray blind people as super crips, and I think they do it because they want to avoid negative stereotypes of disability. But filmmakers often don't realize that the super crip itself is a negative stereotype because of the low expectations we discussed earlier. So if you take a film like Blind Sides by Lucy Walker, the film tells the story of six blind Tibetan teenagers attempting to climb a mountain in the Himalayas. At the beginning, the film explains that many Tibetans consider blindness a curse. And this immediately sets up the character's goal of overcoming social stigma in their community. So the apparently impossible physical journey is also paralleled by a spiritual journey towards a higher state of awareness and higher state of being. We have a very similar storyline in the film High Ground by Mike Brown, where a blinded war veteran also climbs a mountain in the Himalayas, and throughout the journey he becomes more confident with his disability. And the super crip stereotype is also visible in the film Victory of Darkness by Donny Icar. So we have here the heroic struggle of five blind athletes to overcome their impairments and gain social acceptance through excelling in sports.
So why is the super crip stereotype then so popular in films?
So there's a good quote by Tobin Siebers, a disability scholar, and he explains that the super crip stereotype is a masquerade by able people that exaggerates disability for the purpose of affirming able-bodiedness. So only through extraordinary powers can a disabled person validate themselves according to the norms of able people. It essentially goes back to what we discussed previously, that stereotyping is a form of boundary maintenance to affirm one's own identity in the in-group by highlighting the difference between the abled and the disabled, between us and the other. And this is clear when we look at all these films in which blindness is constantly emphasized as something which we can clearly see on screen, for example, shots of the face where we can see the eyes and so forth. And also in the Paralympics trailer, it is obvious that all disabilities are visible disabilities, especially people with missing or deformed limbs and people in wheelchairs. So we see no single example of invisible disabilities because the producers want to establish this binary opposite between the disabled and the abled. So emphasizing this kind of difference and showing what the inferior other can do in terms of being the super crip also aims to inspire able-bodied people. So it's a mechanism to inspire the group that stereotypes the other group. In social psychology, this is called stereotype lift. So basically, able people are inspired to feel and perform better by holding negative stereotypes of disabled people.
Are all blind super crip films about sports or physical activity then?
No. There are many other examples, like blind photographers. For example, the documentary Dark Light, The Art of Blind Photographers by Neil Leifer, or blind visual artists. But there are also simply people who are becoming blind and they find an almost superhuman inner strength to deal with it. If we look at Notes on Blindness, for instance, a documentary by Peter Middleton and James Spinney, the film is actually a very beautiful and poetic documentary about John Hull, a former theology professor who becomes blind and has to learn how to deal with it. What makes the film very intimate and touching is that it is narrated by Hull's own voiceover from his audio diaries. He basically describes the negative effects of his sight loss on his own identity and on his relationship to his wife and children. So the film portrays John Hull's perspective that there's a lot to be lost when becoming blind. He says words like impending doom or drifting into complete emptiness. But then he finally comes to terms with his blindness and considers his new life as a rebirth, a cathartic rebirth. Now, of course, this is his personal perspective and the story of John Hull, this particular man. But the problem is that, yet again, this kind of story follows the same old theme of superhuman emotional strength to overcome disability. And this results in John Hull as the super crip, not only accepting, but actually embracing his blindness. And of course, all these filmmakers have the best intentions to raise awareness about blindness, and in some cases even raise money for charitable purposes. So Notes on Blindness was very good at that. It raised a lot of awareness. At the same time, the films do continue the super crip stereotype, and one might argue that this is the only way to touch a non-blind audience and make them think about what it means to be blind. So you could say that the super crip stereotype has actually some benefits of raising awareness, but this is something that we'll discuss in another episode where we'll discuss this ambiguity of stereotypes.
It's certainly thought-provoking because you're kind of torn between trying to convey a message to a sighted audience, but on the other hand, you don't want to be patronizing either, do you?
Well, exactly. And as we said last time in the previous episode, our brain thinks in narratives and we love emotions, and emotions are the ones that make us engage with characters, and it mobilizes us to either change our attitudes or donate money or whatever. So yes, it's a double-edged sword of using stereotypes, but at the same time trying to portray disabled people in a different way. And I want to close with something that disability activist Stella Young called inspirational porn. So she herself was disabled and she was a stand-up comedian, and she sarcastically said, "I'm not your inspiration, thank you very much."
Well, we will look forward to chatting about this some more, Dr. Brilla. If you'd like to find the previous episodes of this, just head to Audio Boom, search for RNIB Podcasts and Conversations, and search for Blind Stereotypes, and you'll find the previous episodes in the series there. In the meantime, Dr. Catalin Brilla, thank you so much. It's a full and fascinating subject. Thank you for breaking it down for us.
Thank you very much, Simon.